We thank you so much for inviting us to come in and for Dr. McCauley to give us the opportunity to share with you. It's fun to see some of you I have known for many years. Some of you are new faces. Let me introduce myself. My name is Eleanor Mann. John mentioned that we have been married 41 years, and I didn't say, no, 41 and a half. But we met at the university, which is where I also met the Lord and the Navigators, because two NAV girls led me to the Lord by knocking on my dorm room door, thinking they would share with the girl across the hall from me who didn't answer her door. Therefore, they came to my door and led me to Christ. So those of you who are trying to share with a neighbor or go in the dorms on campus, don't give up. You never know how God is working in those lives. And I'm so grateful that those girls came to share with me and then came back the next day, even though I didn't respond real positively, that God had worked in my heart during the night and I had prayed to receive Christ. They made sure that I understood the security of my salvation and got me started in quiet time and Bible study. So don't give up. Don't give up. I was one of those people that weren't the ones that responded the first time. But God was at work in my heart, and I will be forever grateful to them and to the other women over the years who have built into my life and encouraged me and taught me. So we live in Houston, Texas. We have 4 grandchildren and 9 grandchildren. So I have lots of fun with all of them. They call me Mima. They call my husband Baba. And our youngest just emailed this week that she really wanted us to come home so that she could visit with Baba until he had no more words. So that's a little bit about me. I am going to speak with you today, share with you. Some thoughts on how to ensure that your marriage is sexually fulfilling. I noticed the giant letters in the title of this workshop on the schedule, so I'm assuming that a man put together the schedule. I've already had one man ask me in the dining room if he could attend, and I said no. I think he was joking. I think he would have been very intimidated. But this is an area that I think is very important in our marriage relationships. It is something that I have learned a lot and am still learning about. But I'm grateful to have a husband who is very gentle with me. And God has really done a work in my life in this area. Because the godly wife encourages and is herself aggressive in the stimulation and sexual excitement of her husband. But this is one of the changes that is the result of a short marriage ceremony where you have to do an about face from thinking about, as a single girl, where all these things that suddenly were wrong have become right. And sometimes our response is dependent on our background, because some of us have led promiscuous lives as single girls. Some of us, on the other hand, have led very conservative lives. For instance, when I was a college student, someone told me that if my slip was showing, it was a sin because it was a temptation to a young guy. So did that make me hyper about making sure that everything was okay? We had a little code word with each other. We would say, it's snowing down south. And that meant we needed to take care of business. But depending on our background, we approach marriage from different angles. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, for the believer, therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is a spiritual transformation. So, in terms of your relationship with your husband in Christ, you are a new person. Your background does not matter to God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we realize that we are doing something that is not in accordance with God's word, or even in our past, we are struggling with memory or comparison, which are two consequences of sexual sin when you get married. We know if we confess that to the Lord, he has forgiven us and he has cleansed us. It is removed in terms of God's perspective. Psalm 32, verse 5 says, let me find it real quickly. And then I'm going to put y'all to work. This one I'll read. Psalm 32, verse 5 says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. That's the confession part. Then it goes on. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So God deals with forgiveness. He forgives us, he cleanses us, and he wipes away the guilt. So if you have confessed anything, but since we're talking about this area, if you've confessed any sexual sin to the Lord, you are forgiven, you are cleansed, and you should not experience any guilt. If you do, that is the enemy. That is not the Holy Spirit. So I hope that is freeing to you. You know, there is no 50-50 business in marriage. Sometimes you hear that, you know, you give 50, he gives 50, that makes 100, that makes a good marriage. No, in God's economy, we are both giving 100%. And if your husband does not give his 100%, it doesn't matter, you still give yours. How does God give to us? In Ephesians 3:20, it says, more abundantly than you can ask or think. That should be our attitudes towards our husband. We are giving to him more abundantly than he asks or than he thinks. Does your husband have to beg? Do you even make him ask? Or do you sometimes take the initiative? Sex is not a weapon. Don't use your physical relationship with your husband as a way of getting back at him. If you're angry because he hasn't helped with the children or done the dishes or comes in late or whatever. Now, how do I know to say these things? Because I've done them. And learned gratefully. Okay? So when I talk to you about this, I'm talking from one, as one who has learned a lot. My father died when I was 11. John's parents were not happily married. They ended up divorced when he was about 14, 15. So neither of us came from a Christian home. Neither of us knew what marriage should look like. When we became engaged, and then as an early married couple, we very eagerly sought out older couples and Bible studies and read scripture and went to marriage conferences. Matter of fact, for the first 25 years of our marriage, we went to at least one marriage conference a year, just because we knew we needed to do some things differently. So the good thing about coming from that kind of background is we knew we needed to learn. I've really prayed for my children, since they did not come from that kind of background, that they would realize that it is a lot of work. Because marriage is a lot of work. It is worth it. It is the most special relationship on earth you will ever experience. It is a great joy of my life. A young girl asked me last week, well, you've been married 40 years, do you still like your husband? And I said, yes, he is the love of my life. I love him more than I did yesterday. I love him less than I will tomorrow. And that's what God desires for us. Okay. I'm going to give you some scripture, and then I'm going to ask different people to read it. Let me write some on the board. This is Song of Solomon. spend a lot of time here. Before I was married, someone told me that I should pray through the Song of Solomon as a devotional illustration of God's love for me. It's fine to do that because you can apply it devotionally, but this is a marriage song, and it's pretty literal in some parts, and it's helpful to us because it gives us ideas of how God approves of us being aggressive in this relationship with our husband. And that's what we're talking about now. We are talking about a godly wife being aggressive in the stimulation of her husband's sexual appetite and desires. Okay? Song of Solomon 1, verses 2 through 4. Who can read that for me? Okay? Okay, draw me after you and let us run together. Now, does that sound aggressive? That's not, oh, no, you can't do this. You know? She is calling after him. Now, and haven't I already said it? How do I know this stuff? Because I've done it. That's how I know it. But we can learn, okay? We can learn. We can respond to Scripture. Is this Scripture? Yes. Is it the description of a wife's relationship with her husband? Yes. Is it full of joy or is she acting under compulsion? She is joyful. She is excited about him. Okay? Do not let the world conform you to its mold in this thinking, in thinking this way. Do not believe what you see in movies or TV or billboards. You know, we'll talk about some of those things are helpful in other areas, but don't believe how they depict marriage and family. The Bible gives God's true picture, and there's a pretty good one in Song of Solomon, okay? Chapter 1, verses 16 and 17.
How handsome you are, my beloved, oh how charming, and how very valiant. The things of our house are sweeter than the rushes of earth.
Okay, she's complimenting him. Have you told your husband today how handsome you think he is? How nice he looks in his outfit? How you like his hair? Is your couch luxuriant? For a long time, my bed was kind of the trash heap of the house. That's where you, when the guests came over, you threw it all in the bedroom so you could clean up the living room. We have recently moved, and I have made a commitment that my bedroom will not be that way. And I went through and threw things away and bought organizers and have made a commitment. And we are so much more relaxed in our bedroom. It has nothing to do with money. It just has to do with making it look nice. I have done rose petals before. You have to be careful with the red ones because they leave a stain. See, aren't you glad you came and we're not even half through yet? Okay, chapter 7, verse 6.
Oh, how beautiful you are, how pleasing and how full of delight.
Now, see, we think that he's only supposed to say that kind of stuff to him, to us. But men want to hear that we find them attractive, too. I mean, he chose you above all other women to spend the rest of his life with. There's some times when I think about that and I just go kind of I mean, I don't mean this to sound down on myself, but I kind of go, why? But he did. Don't let anything take that away from you. Enjoy that thought. Revel in it. Let him know how much you appreciate. Let him be glad he made the choice. Okay? Let's do one more in Song of Solomon, and we're going to look at a couple of others. Someone back here was going to read for me. Okay. If you would read Song of Solomon 7, verses 10 through 13.
I am my beloved, and his desire is to attend. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge to the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyard. Let us meet the vine flourish. Gather the tender grapes of here, and the pomegranate bud forth. There will be my love. The mandrake give us milk, as our conductor gave.
Okay, let us go out into the country. Let us spend the night in villages. Plan a time away from home. When my children were little, we lived about maybe 2,000 kilometers from any family. But we would take turns with other young couples in our church. We knew each other pretty well and were comfortable with looking after each other's children. It was worth it to me to have a house full of children for one weekend so that my husband and I could have another weekend together. Spend some time alone when your children are little and when they're bigger. You can't talk about things at the dinner table. You have very little time together. And I know, let me mention too, as I get into this, my children, I have four. The oldest was 7 when the youngest was born, so that's popping out a baby about every 2 years or a little less. So some of you who have babies, you're listening to me and you're thinking, oh yeah, that's how she can say that. You know, I can barely get through the day. I'm only getting 4 hours of sleep a night. I've been where you are. It will pass. It is hard. But your relationship with your husband is going to extend after your children leave home. I'm there. I am there. I love my children, and we do see them. But they no longer live at home, but my husband does. And I have seen people who ended up spending so much focused time on their children that when their children left to go to school or work or whatever, they kind of looked at each other like, who are you? They had gone different ways, so don't do that. Figure out a way to spend time together. We had, even when our children were little, we had a date night once a week. Now, sometimes the date night was to put the children to bed and sit on the couch together with, you know, a big sigh. But it was a time that we planned to spend together. And we did not talk about the children. We did not talk about any problems. We just spent that time focusing on each other, talking about what we were doing, what we were learning, just enjoying being with each other like you do when you're dating. And now it is so fun to see my children going on dates with their spouses. And when we are able, we keep, my son lives very close to us, and we keep his children one night a week so that they can go out together. And when we are able to, we keep them one day of the week so that my daughter-in-law can have a day off and do stuff without children at home. Because I know what it's like to have little children around all the time. You love them, but you need that break. Okay? So figure out a way to spend some time with your husband. Run away to the villages. Go out to the country. 40 years of having one date night a week really adds up. And if you plan to go out one night a week and then something happens, you know, a child gets sick or there's something in the schedule that comes up, you still have other times that are planned. If you plan to go out twice in a month, you'll be lucky to go out once in a month. So plan for it. Okay? In Genesis 26, verse 8, please. Okay, so the king looked out his window, and what did he see? And he wasn't just giving her a hug. Okay? Do you allow your husband to touch you? Do you allow your husband specifically, I'll just say it, to touch your breast? Now, that doesn't mean that you are, indiscreet about it. But when you are driving down the road and it's dark, no one can see into your car. Let him touch your leg, let him touch you wherever he wants to touch you. The kids are in the back seat, they don't know what's going on, or maybe they aren't with you. Do you see what I mean? You know, enjoy this relationship with your husband. It is impossible for a husband to lust after his own wife. And we know that guys struggle with purity. It's not anything they want, and we'll talk a little more about that later. But you can satisfy your husband and make him a happy man by ministering to him in this area. It's not that we don't enjoy it, too, and that it's not a wonderful union and an intimacy that you don't share with anyone else, because that's true. But it is also a ministry. It's something we give to our husbands that no one else is, and I don't want them to. Okay? It is a ministry to your husband. When I learned to think that way, it changed my whole thinking and my whole kind of perspective on it. Song of Solomon 8, verse 14.
Make haste, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountain.
Okay, do you tell your husband, hurry? Come on. Let's go. Or are you lying there like this? Let me know when you're through. Wake me up. Now, there's nothing wrong with just cuddling. And emotionally, there are times when we just need a cuddle without actually having a sexual relationship. But if you are freely giving yourself to your husband and that need is being met, then he is a lot more prone to be able to cuddle you the times when you need it. Does that make sense? Okay. This is an intentional ministry to our husbands. And it ensures that your husband, that your marriage is sexually fulfilling to him. Okay, let's talk about seven ways the wife excites her husband. And I'm going to give you some verses, and while you are looking those up, I'm going to tell you a little story. Okay? I'm just going to ask people kind of go on the rows and ask you to read. If you don't want to read for any reason, just say no thank you, no problem, we'll go on. Okay?
Proverbs 27:20. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 8. Song of Solomon 2, verse 9. Song of Solomon 2, verse 14, and we'll stop there. Okay, while they are looking those up, let me tell you, this is a true story. My husband went into an auto parts store, of all places. I don't go to those places. I don't know what's in them. I assume it's something to do with cars. But he went in to buy something, and there was a life-size cardboard advertisement. But it wasn't a sign. It was a lady with her hair all curled, in a red two-piece bathing suit, pearls, high heels, red lipstick, holding a shock absorber with the name of the company. Okay? Now, what does the way she looks, how does that have anything at all to do with shock absorbers? Do you know how those things go under your car? They're all greasy from the road. I mean, but every man who walked in that store noticed that sign. My husband showed me a picture once that he had seen an advertisement or something somewhere. It was one of those pictures that's all black and white, but it has one thing in color. Well, on this particular picture, it was a woman in a very low-cut blouse walking down the street carrying a pink purse. And the question this guy asked him when he gave this picture to my husband was, what color is her purse? Guys weren't looking at the purse. John actually used this at a men's conference. None of them could tell him. It is the way they are put together. It is a God-given thing. And it is a way that we can minister to our husbands uniquely. Okay? Let's look at these verses. We're talking about the first way a wife can excite her husband is with visual stimulation. Think red bathing suit, shock absorbers. Okay? Proverbs 27:20. The eyes of a man are never satisfied. That is not right or wrong. It is just true. That is the way God made him. Will he ever have enough? No. Will he ever tire of looking at you? No. Does it matter if you're 65 and a little saggy and baggy? No. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 8.
All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear is filled of hearing.
Okay, same idea. It does not mean that you are not, that he is not enjoying his relationship with you. It's just the way guys are made. You will have a wonderful time together, and then he wants it again. He is not an animal. It is not some kind of a desire that as he grows more spiritual or older, it will diminish. Probably the more he grows in his walk with God, I hope I'm not saying this on a recorder. Probably the more he grows in his walk with God, just like he grows in other areas of life, and as your relationship grows closer in other areas, his desire for you will also grow. And isn't that a wonderful thing? But we have to have the right kind of attitude. Okay. Song of Solomon 2, verse 9.
My beloved is like a bird or an ant. Behold, he is standing behind the wall. He's looking through the windows. He's giving to the land.
So what is this husband doing? He's peeping through the window at her. Okay. Is she embarrassed by the fact that he is looking at her body like a gazelle or a young stag in heat? No, she's letting him do it. She's calling him her beloved. So let him look. Guys are stimulated by looking. Song of Solomon 2, verse 14. What does a godly husband, in terms of this verse, desire, in terms of the excitement and satisfaction that a godly wife can bring him? He wants to see her form. I was ministering to a young wife, and she always undressed in the bathroom or in the closet because she was embarrassed about how she looked. Don't do that. Let your husband see you. Let him enjoy you. God has given you to each other. It is good. It is right. In the garden, when God created Adam and Eve, they were naked and not ashamed. And that was before the fall. It was only after the fall that God gave them clothes. Now, culturally, we have to wear clothes when we're out around other people. But when you are with your husband in your room by yourself, let him look.
Number two, this is the second way that we can excite our husbands. Some of these things you may not have thought of. Some of these things you may know, and hearing this is giving you permission to do it. Some of it may be old hat, but I pray as we talk that there will be something in this that will encourage you to love your husband and let him love you the way God intends. Genesis 24:53. It says, "And the servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother." In this passage, Abraham's servant realized that God had answered his prayers and was providing a godly wife for Abraham's son Isaac. And he provided these things to Rebekah before bringing her to see her future husband. So dress up for your husband. Rebekah dressed up before she met Isaac. You know, that's something that we kind of tend to do when we're dating. And then somehow we just get comfortable with each other. When my children were little, I made it a point to at least change my top before my husband came home. Because by the end of the day, it smelled like baby spit up and, you know, other unmentionable things that you have with children. And hugging me was probably not going to be very desirable. So it really didn't take that long to just clean up a little. If you've been cleaning the oven, you don't want to greet him at the door smelling like oven cleaner or bathroom cleaner or whatever. You know, dress up for him. It doesn't have to be going out somewhere. Just dress so that he knows you have taken the time and you want to look nice for him. Proverbs 31:17. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Do something to get to improve or to maintain your physical conditioning. Now, that's hard when you've just had a baby. It's hard when there are little children at home. But the Bible says that that was something the Proverbs 31 woman did.
Just to help us with the number, physical conditioning number 3 of 7, or is it part of number 2?
It's part of number 2, clothing and appearance.
Okay.
And I don't mind you asking at all. I'm glad to clarify. Proverbs 31:22. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Have some attractive clothing. It doesn't have to be expensive, but it should be clean. And sometimes the day can creep up on you and you realize you look in the closet and there's nothing there. So have a plan. Which day are you going to wash? Check the day before. What do you have? But the point is that you are working hard to make yourself look attractive to him. That your clothing and your appearance, you know it matters to him, so you are taking the time to take care of yourself. Let's talk about hair. That is the third way you can excite your husband sexually. Where did we leave off? Wambui, would you look at 1 Corinthians 11, verses 14 through 16? And Eva, would you look at Song of Solomon 7, verse 5? And Song of Solomon 4, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11, 14 through 16.
Then the Lord may check his own teaching that the man who has long hair is even beautiful, and the woman has long hair is in her beauty. For her hair is given to her for a covering. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such instruction, not in the churches of God.
Okay. According to God, our hair is our glory. What constitutes long hair? Well, my hair is very straight. Your hair, if you pulled it up, because it's curly, it would be very long too. And many of you, I think the women in Kenya and in the parts of Africa that we visited do beautiful things with their hair. And you change it so much. sometimes I feel like I should ask everybody to keep their hair the same for a couple of days just to help me remember your name. I used to tell my students, would you please wear the same clothes all week so I can learn who you are? But the point of that is our hair is our glory. Let it be beautiful and let it look feminine. The Bible doesn't say how long it needs to be, but you should look like a woman. Can someone tell from behind that you are a woman? If you're wearing your hair really short, do you style it in a way that still looks feminine? Do you wear earrings? You know what I mean. It's not really the specifics of how long it is. Does it look feminine? Or are you just wearing it in a way that is easy for you to maintain and not in a way where it is truly your glory? Song of Solomon 7, verse 5.
Your head is as majestic as Mount Carmel, and the sheen of your hair radiates royalty. The king is held captive by it.
Is your husband captivated by your hair? Do you let him touch it? I have to confess, there have been times when I've just fixed it and I'm like, oh, I'm messing with my hair. You know, he wants to rub it or play with it. Let him enjoy it. Let him enjoy it. It's hair. Song of Solomon 4, verse 1.
Because of your hair, my love, because of your hair, you have the dark eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of sheep going down from Mount Gilead.
Now, I have to admit, I included this because I just started laughing. A flock of goats. Come on. But somehow, it's a word picture, obviously. And somehow, in the day and age when this was written, it communicated beauty. So, our hair should be beautiful. It should be our glory. Okay, number four. Ways to excite your husband and stimulate your husband. Number four is eyes. Song of Solomon 4, verse 9. You have made my heart beat faster, my sister, my bride. You have made my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eyes, with a single strand of your necklace. Do you ever flirt with your husband? Do you look at him across the room and wink? Or raise your eyebrows? Or give a little, you know, something with your eyes, widen your eyes? Does he know that's just for him? My husband loves that. And he knows it means ooh la la is coming. But he loved it. Use your eyes. Repeat the verse. The verse is Song of Solomon 4, verse 9. Okay, number 5. Perfume. Proverbs 27:9 says, oil and perfume make the heart glad. You not only want to smell good, but find out what your husband likes. I personally like kind of a light floral, but my husband likes more of a musky smell. So on this trip, I brought both. I wear mine during the day because it is a little better for being around people because it's not so strong. But when I'm with him, I put on the heavy-duty stuff, and he loves it. And he knows I'm doing it for him. It's kind of a nonverbal signal. Okay? So use perfume. And by that, I mean not babysit up, you know, burned dinner, washing dishes, cleaning toilet scents, something that smells nice. And all of these things we're talking about require planning, don't they? It means that we are thinking about him during the day. It means that we are using time we could use doing something else to prepare for him. It means we are ministering to him. Song of Solomon 1, verse 13. My beloved is to me a pouch of myrrh which lies all night between my breasts. At my house, we have, and I'm being transparent, guys. At my house, we have clean sheet night. Do you know what that means? That means on the day when I when I change the sheets on the bed, my husband knows he will have a good time that night.
Because when you walk in the room, you can smell the clean sheets. And to him, clean sheets mean ooh la la. Okay? You don't have to do that. But figure out something that communicates to your husband that he is special. Number six. We're talking about seven ways to excite your husband. Your lips, your mouth. Song of Solomon 4 verse 3. Your lips are like a scarlet thread and your mouth is lovely. Now, I've been working at it today, and it's hard because my lip gloss keeps coming off. But make your mouth attractive. And don't, I developed, my teeth needed braces, and even after wearing braces, they're still a little bit crooked. So I grew up being embarrassed about my smile. Plus, my brother, when I was little, told me my lips were big. So I grew up smiling like this. It took a lot of conscious effort for me to learn how to just smile and not be self-conscious about it. But my husband likes looking at my lips, and he likes red lipstick. I never wore red lipstick because I thought I had big lips. So you don't draw attention to your lips. I always went with neutral colors. But when we go out, I don't wear red lipstick all the time because it's so messy. But when we go out, I do. And that is special to him because he knows I'm doing it for him. Even something that simple is a ministry to him. Song of Solomon 4, verse 3. And let me mention, too, when I share these things, some of these things you just need to talk to him about and ask him, what do you like? You know, do you like red lipstick? What kind of perfume do you like? What kind of necklines do you like? Does he like a deep plunging neckline? Does he like more of a scoop? Some guys like legs. You know, none of these, wearing these kind of outfits, you're not dressing for your husband the same way you dress to go to church. You're dressing for him. There are appropriate ways to dress in different situations. I wouldn't wear a bathing suit to church. I don't even want to think about what would happen. But I can dress in a provocative way for my husband when we are at home with the door closed in our own room. It is not wrong. It is good. And it is a ministry to him. Okay. The seventh. And this is maybe the most significant. The excitement of her breasts. Why do men love breasts? Just because that's the way God made them. In Genesis 1:27, it says, "And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him." God made us the way we are, with breasts. And one of the uses of them, of course, is to nurse babies. But you are going to spend a large part of your life not nursing babies. And the rest of the time, those breasts are for your husband to enjoy. So let him enjoy them. Song of Solomon 7, verses 6 through 8. "How beautiful and how delightful you are, my love, with all your charms. Your stature is like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters. I said, I will climb the palm tree. I will take hold of its fruit stalks. Oh, may your breasts be like clusters of the vine and the fragrance of your breath like apples." So she is allowing him to touch her, to enjoy her body. Goodness. Okay. And a part of it is her breath, allowing him to enjoy her breath. Now, we are not going to be able to get into it in depth, but read about the life of Esther. We focus in on how she bravely went in before the king and ended up saving her nation, which is true. She was brave. But she also spent a year in preparation, basically a year in the spa, before she first went in to meet her husband. And the end result was pleasing him and putting her in the position to do a pretty spectacular thing for her people.
So the point is, in order to learn how to do this and to use these spices and oils, she was willing to listen to someone who knew how all those things worked to beautify. So it is not wrong for us as Christian women to learn from the secular world how to make ourselves beautiful. You can do that by asking, by looking at a magazine. Now, I'm not talking about pornography, but I'm talking about noticing ads. What do perfume ads look like in magazines? What do the ads look like that you know are intended for men to look at them? Just become aware of those things. My husband would ask me, you know, something about some ad, and I could tell him what the perfume was, but I hadn't even noticed what the lady looked like. And he would say, you know, I really like the dress she was wearing, and I hadn't even looked at that. That's just how differently we are made. There are many other things that I would mention. We are almost out of time, but I think the most important, let me share with you some differences between men and women. And I had been married a long time before I actually realized some of these are true. The first one, men can be sexually stimulated whether they want to be or not. It is not because they are in sin. Now, how they respond to that is a choice they have to make. But they are initially stimulated without any desire. It is almost impossible for a woman to be stimulated sexually if she doesn't want to be. A lot of times we have to put ourselves in the mindset, kind of prepare ourselves mentally in order to respond to our husbands in that way. But for men, it's the way they are made. It has nothing to do with maturity. It's just the way God made them. Men masturbate. Most women do not. Especially if a man has not had sex 2 or 3 times a week, he experiences physical pain. We do not. His body does. And that's frequently a time when men will masturbate. It's in order to relieve the pressure of the sperm in their system. If they don't have an ejaculation, they have to manually make that happen. I'm not saying that to embarrass you or to be gross, but I didn't know that. Men are comforted by sex, and women are not. Let's look at Genesis 24, verse 67. And we are about finished. It says, then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Sarah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Look at that last sentence, and my eyes just about fell out of my face. His mother had died, and he wants sex? I mean, for me, that would be zero comfort. You know, when I'm upset, I want to be held. I want him to listen to me. I want him to, you know, stroke me. But that's the way guys are made. And when your husband is under stress, whether it's going through a tragedy, whether it's just stress from work, whether it's just driving home in traffic, he is very, very vulnerable to temptation. And you can help him by being available to comfort him. And I don't mean giving him a hug. Being available to comfort him. I have a project for you. And then I have a handout. And then we'll wrap up. Turn to Proverbs 5, or write this down. Proverbs 5, 15 through 19. I'm sorry, I've given you the wrong reference because I changed my mind. It's Proverbs 7, verses 6 through 22. Now, this is a description in Proverbs of a harlot, and it describes how she attracted a man. Now, in the context in Proverbs, it's saying, you know, be careful of this kind of a woman. It's a father talking to his son. But the way we are looking at it We are learning from a professional. And what I want you to do in your project is list how did she sexually excite this man? What did she do? We won't do it right now, but sometime when you have, 10 or 15 minutes, look at this passage. Now, she is doing it illicitly, isn't she? Because her husband's out of town, this is someone else's husband. But with us, with our own husbands, this is completely legitimate. This is something God says is good, it's right, it's holy, it's a ministry to Him. It's a ministry to Him. And it's a comfort to Him. It's a comfort. There are many more things that I could say. I hope that this has been a help to you. I am going to pass out some sheets. I think there are enough. If there aren't, if you'll let me know kind of a count, I will make some more and give them to the McCauleys. This is something for you to do on your own. But what I want you to do is read the verse, and then on the other side, write down, what is a practical way that I could excite my husband sexually? The first one, Song of Solomon 1, verse 4. We talked about this earlier. Draw me after you and let us run together. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will rejoice in you and be glad. We will extol your love more than wine. Have you ever grabbed your husband's hand and dragged him into the bedroom and slammed the door and pushed him on the bed? You will have a happy husband if you do this. Okay? That is an example. You can come up with your own. Now let me, and I realized I didn't pray at the beginning. I was praying like crazy in my chair. But I didn't pray before we started. But I didn't pray with you all. So in a moment, I'll pray and close this. The guys know what we've been talking about, ladies. So I hope that they listen in their workshops today to other things. But you know what they are thinking about. You will have a fun night, a little ooh-la-la. And I know for you, you may be thinking, I've been gone all day, the kids are going to want my attention, I've got to come up with dinner. There are other things that are on your mind, but just know what is on his mind. And you can enjoy your husband. I don't mean any of this to sound indelicate, but in Titus 2, it talks about the older women teaching the younger women how to love your husband. And there are a lot of things that involve loving your husband, but this is a part of it. Okay? We need to know what makes him tick. We need to know what excites him. We need to enjoy the relationship. We need to minister to him. And we need to be aggressive in exciting him sexually. And that is the way to have a sexually exciting marriage. Thank you. Let me pray. And then we closed those doors. I don't know if they're milling outside or if they're not through yet, but we will give you, nobody's here, so after I pray, if you need to take a little break or do something, feel free to. You can stay where you are, you can move back to the chairs where you were sitting with your husband. But let's pray and close. Father, we thank you so much for how you have worked in our lives. How you have drawn us to yourself, how you have revealed yourself to us, and we thank you that your wounds have healed us, that there is nothing in our backgrounds, nothing in our thought processes, nothing that you say is greater than your desire for us to love our husbands and to stimulate them. And you have said that this is something that a godly wife does.
So I pray, Father, help us to love that man you've given us. Help us to believe in your word when it says that this is good. Help us to desire to minister to him and to see that this is a very specific ministry that no one else can provide for him. Help us to appreciate what you have given us. Help us to give ourselves freely and to be willing to learn new things and to talk to him about what is important to him, what he likes. Father, help us to bring our husbands much joy. And we pray as we grow in this area that you will draw us ever closer to him and to you. And we thank you and praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
You are free.